No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome to another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. This is our 26th show, half a year of doing Rusty Satellite shows. About halfway through, we came up with this great slogan. I came up with this great slogan, the most interesting people in the Ville. Came up with that after watching a beer commercial, but it's really true. And now I'm happy to announce that I've gone into merchandising. I just had a delivery of the new Rusty Satellite Show t-shirts that are going to be in the stockings of all my kids and friends and people. And you can have one too. I'm going to have a picture of a Rusty Satellite t-shirt up on the site, rustysatelliteshow.com, louisvilleky.com, and you can somehow get a hold of me and get on my, if you're not on my Christmas list, I'll figure out a way to get you a shirt to wear around town. It's really cool. They're black. They're white shirts with a gold and black logo, just like the one you see at rustysatelliteshow.com. So, fulfilling our mission of having the most interesting people in the Ville on, I really have a special, special show this week. It's two media titans in our city are on the show. One is my first guest is the executive editor of the Courier Journal, Neil Buddy, who has was very kind enough to welcome me into the fourth floor at the Courier Journal, place I'd never been before. And was very open and engaging and really what you'd expect from a fellow Western Kentucky University graduate. Neil left right before I got there in 1978, but he has a stellar career in media, pioneered to my knowledge, one of the only paywalls that works in media at the Wall Street Journal. And first time to meet him, I thought he's really great. He's really doing a lot to help the reputation of the Courier Journal. As you'll hear, some of my questions were pointed. Pointing out the obvious, the troubles that the Courier Journal has had the last few years. Everybody in town, complaining because it's not what it used to be. And what we have is a realistic version of what we are now with the Courier. And Neil really explains that well. My other guest is a guy I've been trying to get on the show for a long time. He is the general manager at WLKY-TV, Glenn Haygood. And I'll talk more about Glenn in a minute. We go back a long way. When he came to town about 6 years ago, he sought me out as during my time as a media critic at another website. And we've been friends ever since. He, interestingly enough, was about the only guy in town that was happy when University of Central Florida beat Louisville in football last fall, because he is the only, to my knowledge, UCF graduate in this town. So anyway, I had a good conversation over at WLKY. I went to their offices on Melwood, and I had a nice conversation with Glenn. So you can catch a lot of information about this stuff on my websites, louisvilleky.com and rustysatelliteshow.com. I'll talk a little bit more about some of those things in just a minute. But right now, it's a great week, and I want to get you right into the Neil Budde interview. It's really good. There's a copy of it. I transcribed it and turned it into InsiderLouisville.com. You can check it out over there if you want to, you know, read it instead of listen to it. But right now, let's get right into it. From the fourth floor of the Courier Journal building at 6th and Broadway, here's my interview with Neil Budde.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
And I'm here for the first time in my life on the fourth floor of the Courier Journal with Neil Budde, the new it's executive editor of the Courier Journal. Well, welcome, Neil.
Thank you.
And welcome to town.
Thank you. Actually, welcome back.
That's right. Welcome back. And we have in common that we both went to Western. Now, I think I might have just missed you there.
When were you there?
I got there in 78.
Okay.
So
I would have, yeah. So I graduated in 77. So just.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we just missed you. But I'm sure we would have run into each other down there or done something on the Hill. But very interesting things going on in the newspaper business. Obviously, you have a big job, and when I heard the announcement of you being here, I said, well, if anybody can do it, that's the kind of background they need. So how's it going so far? You've been here how long?
About 2.5 months.
Okay.
And I think it's going great. I mean, I've spent a lot of time getting up to speed, meeting everyone, sitting down one-on-one with everyone in the newsroom. I think I've made it through pretty much the whole newsroom now.
Okay.
And, you know, learning where we are and, you know, a lot of things. But I'm excited. I've told a lot of people it's the most fun I've had in a job in a long time.
Oh, really? Well, good. Well, good. Well, you know, talk around town in media circles is how everything is going downhill here at the Courier Journal. I'm going to give you a chance to refute that. What kind of moves are you making, or how can we look positively toward the future at the Courier Journal?
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't have come here if I didn't know that there were challenges, but I also know that there's a great opportunity. I think this is a great institution, still well regarded in the community. So obviously what we're trying to do is continue to evolve across all platforms. We're making a lot of moves on print side, but also on the digital side. Even before I got here, there was a redesign of the newspaper to put an even greater emphasis on local. And that will take another step early next year to expand the local news section even more, and to add in a section from USA Today that will bring in additional national and world news.
Okay, and now that story just broke today. We're talking December the 12th, I think. So it was just out today that the Gannett is going to put USA Today in all of its local newspapers. So I don't know how much detail you can give me on that, but when's that going to happen here?
It'll be late January in Louisville. It's going to take each week beginning in mid-January through well into March. There'll be several more newspapers added. It's not all of the Gannett newspapers. It's the 35 or so large, the 35 largest.
Okay.
Four have already gone. So there was a test that was done in Indianapolis, Rochester, a couple other cities, and the reaction that the company got, both anecdotally and through research from readers, is that this is a great addition to the paper. We really think you're improving the quality of what we get, and very excited in terms of the dynamic, both sort of qualitatively, but also in quantity in terms of sales on the newsstand as well as subscriptions. So the company's very excited. I'm excited. I've been spending a lot of time over the last month getting ready for this. We hadn't announced it till yesterday.
Okay.
But we've been doing a lot of the planning on what are we going to do with the additional local news hole that we have, how are we going to beef up what we're covering, and how do we take advantage of this locally?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's a lot of criticism around town about the paper doesn't do what it used to do. It doesn't cover as many things as it used to, and it seems like all the numbers, all the circulation number, the advertising sales numbers. I know there was a story this week in Insider Louisville about Gannett's concerns about its digital subscription sales. So I know I'm throwing a lot at you there, but let's just address digital subscription sales. You have a paywall. I hate it. I don't subscribe. Sorry. But, I keep going to things I want to look up on the Courier, and this is your last article. I just don't see that as being a good thing for the paper, but defend it then.
Sure. you know, it's kind of interesting. I was involved with the start of the Wall Street Journal back when it was almost 20 years ago. And from the very beginning, we recognized that subscribers should be a part of the mix. And so, you know, we wanted to get advertising dollars as well, but we also felt like, you know, getting subscribers conditioned that what we did, you needed to pay for. I think a lot of people thought, well, we're just taking the Wall Street Journal, putting it online, and charging for it. Mm-hmm. And the reality was we built a whole product around the Wall Street Journal. We added a lot of value beyond each day's newspaper. We had archival content. We had real-time, you know, updating going on. So part of it is about building a product that people, you know, recognize and that has value to them. I think that's part of our challenge right now is to continue to evolve and improve the digital products we offer so that people will recognize that there is a value to them to have access to that completely without, you know, hitting, you know, paywalls and other kinds of things.
Okay. Now I've seen the stories about out of National Gannett about digital subscription sales and you know the numbers they promise to their corporate people are a lot higher than the actual numbers, from what I understand. I mean, is there a strategy beyond doing what you're doing that to address that?
There's a couple things. One is, you know, we will undergo a fairly significant redesign of the desktop product early next year. It's very similar to the design you see at usatodays.com. Mm-hmm. And I just saw a story today that it was named one of the top five website redesigns last year by one. So I think it's a really solid design and, you know, gives you much greater value, I think, to readers of the desktop. We just this past weekend launched a new tablet app. So if you are, you know, prefer the iPad or an Android tablet, you have access there, and new phone apps will be updated phone apps will be coming out next week. So I think part of the digital strategy is to get to a new platform that is much easier to use, much greater utility, and through that I think we can also offer other things.
Sure.
We also just reduced the price of a digital only subscription.
Okay.
It had been I think $13 a month. It's now $9.99. A lot of what people told us is that they kind of judge everything online or everything digital against, you know, not against another newspaper. They tend to judge it against something else that they pay for. Oh, I pay $9.99 for Netflix online. So that, you know, it's kind of in their mind, that's the price point that is kind of acceptable to pay for something. So there are a lot of things going on to improve the marketability of our digital subscriptions. But I think there's still continued evolution then once we get on these new platforms to continue to add and increase the value that we give people.
Okay. Well, let's switch gears just for a second. Talk about local coverage since you've been here. I know over the last several years, a lot of people are moaning about there's always been budget cuts and furloughs and the coverage isn't what it used to be. I mean, I know I myself was shocked a few weeks ago, the big story at Greater Louisville Inc. Was covered by Inside of Louisville, FPL, everybody else, and all the TV stations, but the Courier was very slow to cover that story. What are you doing to try to deliver the type of full coverage of the news that people are accustomed to with the Courier Journal with reduced staff?
Sure. I think, you know, twofold. One is what we want to really do is identify the areas that we can do well and give people great coverage on. Mm-hmm. So, yes, there are going to be some things that we choose not to cover to the extent that we used to. And I think that's a trade-off that is important to make because I think we want to focus on quality, not quantity. And I think in the past, we've been more focused on quantity and spread ourselves too thin. And what we ended up with was in some cases, less quality coverage of a lot of things when I think we can do a better job of covering a smaller number of things really well. I just did some market research last week, and we were talking to a lot of either subscribers or potential subscribers, and what they told us is they really want us to do in-depth. They want us to do things that put, you know, the news in context, that help them understand the news. They don't want us to be doing lots of crime and, that kind of stuff. They really want us to continue to do watchdog journalism and hold government officials accountable. So we're putting more of our resources in those kind of directions, which may mean we do give up a little bit of the routine coverage of certain kinds of things.
Right. And I guess the one thing about Louisville, and I'm not even sure if this is true in other cities, but you would know, you've been around. Here in town, you know, there's the Kentucky Center for Investigative Reporting from the public radio people, and WDRB has taken a lot of your reporters and put them on their staff and put a lot of emphasis on their, you know, so-called journalism brand. A lot of the things they've done, I went to a panel a few weeks ago, and a lot of it was, you know, giving a lot of grief to the Courier for what it's doing. But, you know, how do you expect, I mean, are you, obviously you're competing, but, you know, you're taking a lot of pot shots, I guess, from other media too, right?
You know, that's kind of natural. You know, everyone aims for the leader, and mm-hmm. they're all, you know, that's the thing you shoot at. And, you know, if you want to try and build yourself up, you kind of try and take some shots at that. And I think there have been, you know, some circumstances over the last year or so that have made it a little easier to do that. But I think we're on a new path. We have made a number of hires. We got a couple people starting in the next few weeks. So we're beefing back up our reporting ranks. I think you're going to see some really great stuff coming out of this organization in the next year.
Okay. So are we done? I mean, I don't. You're never done. You never predict the future. But, you know, the trend for several years has been less people, cut. Gannett wants you to cut. It seems like in other organizations in town, at least, and I'm not sure if it's true here, the bottoming out is happening, and a lot of those guys are reinforcing. You say you're hiring people. What do you see in the future for staffing?
Well, you're right. It's always hard to predict. And I think, you know, this industry is still continuing to go through some upheaval. I think between some improvements in the economy, some efforts here to bolster the approach we take to ad sales across media, so it's not just selling the newspaper, it's selling digital, selling a lot of things. I think we're in pretty good shape. And you know, if that holds, then I think, you know, we may be at a bottom, if you will.
Okay.
But I think there's always going to be some continued transition in how we approach news and how we go after news. And particularly as we try to be, you know, really strong across multiple platforms, not just, you know, the newspaper, but everything we do digitally as well.
Right, right. Now, and we're almost done here, but I want to ask you a question that, you know, people ask me all the time as somebody that's in the media about the Courier Journal and it's about your print edition. And you know, again, declining numbers. Some other markets, they've gone to less than 7 days a week. When or if, you know, I know you're not going to say it's going to happen on June 16th, but do you see a day when the Courier doesn't publish 7 days a week?
I don't have any sense that that's in the offing. And in fact, I think that this project with USA Today, where we're bringing in their content into our newspaper, is really about reinvesting in our local print newspaper. And so if anything, we're, you know, putting more resources in, we're putting, you know, more investment, we're going to give readers a richer package of news, both locally as well as, you know, the USA Today national, international news. And that's all about trying to build that business, you know, rebuild that business and hold on to it.
Okay. So for the foreseeable future, we're going to have 7 days a week.
Yep.
And I saw, just along that note, the weather this week, I saw you guys had a difficult time. I used to be a carrier, so I know what that's like when the paper's late and you're sitting there waiting to deliver your papers, if you can even get there or not. But your snow plan, I guess, was to offer the paper, the digital, to everybody, right?
Well, in fact, all of our existing print subscribers have digital access.
Okay.
So we were just encouraging those who, you know, can get online and who we were not able to get papers to take advantage of that, which they already have as part of their subscription.
Okay.
We did open it up a little bit for people who might be, say, you know, buy it on the newsstand or otherwise to try it out. You know, you're right. It's a challenge getting the paper to everyone's door every day when the weather is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more so when the weather is bad. And it's but it's something that I think, you know, we're more focused on right now, particularly as we go into this effort where we're putting additional content into the newspaper. We want to highlight that and make sure we do an excellent job come January.
Sure.
With our delivery.
Okay. Well, very good. Well, those are all the hard questions. Neil, I appreciate you spending time with me. Now, you were here at the Courier before. How long ago was that?
I was here 78 through 86, so the very end of the Bingham family ownership. I was on the business staff covering the sale back in 86, 85, 86, when that was happening.
Okay. Well, it's better to be back and be the boss, right?
it is, but it was funny. Today we had a lunch, and a number of people who have worked at the paper for many years but don't at the moment were back visiting, and it was kind of good to see some people that I hadn't caught up since I got back in town.
Yeah. Well, very good. All right. Well, Neil, buddy, thank you for spending some time on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thank you.
All right.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Thanks again to Neil Buddy of the Courier Journal for letting me come in and see his office. He's got one of those cool stand-up desks in there. It's not associated with a treadmill, as I've seen in some places, but it's a really cool location up there. So anyway, it's a big week—the week before Christmas. I'm excited. I'm gonna start my Christmas shopping pretty soon. As I mentioned before, I got my Rusty Satellite Show T-shirts in, so a lot of folks that I know are going to be getting those. But otherwise, there's a lot. It's busy this time of year. I know that there's a lot of parties to go to. We had our Alpha Energy Solutions Christmas party at the Galt House Saturday night. My social schedule's been really busy. Last night, I went to the Yum Center for the University of Louisville game. The Cards had another easy victory over Missouri State. They won 90-60. The only remarkable thing, I haven't seen much in the media about it, and of course, I'm recording this on Wednesday the 18th, 1 week before Christmas, and not much has been made. Kevin Ware really was limping badly near the end of that game. I read where they said he just fell on it wrong and all that, but with Kevin and the history of his traumatic injury, you do wonder. But regardless, U of L basketball that's a really strong team. They are amazingly good. They played really well last night. It's not that much longer till the big University of Louisville versus University of Kentucky game. And if you saw in the media, Kevin Ware last night in the locker room, in addition to limping around with his injuries, made a comment about UK, about the game not meaning much, about it's just another game on the schedule, something that, you know, is going to be on the bulletin boards, and, you know, we'll get all the people in talk radio all fired up over there at UK, and it's all funny. Speaking of UK, last week there was I hope you can find it somewhere on the internet, but there's a call-in to Matt Jones' show from a UK fan named Chester who was, you know, it sounded like a prank, but I think it was the real thing. Chester was advocating less education and more emphasis on basketball at the University of Kentucky, among other things. So it was pretty funny if you get a chance to listen to it. There's a lot of information, a lot of talk around town about sports these days. I would like to mention one Rusty Satellite Show alumnus, and there, can you believe it? There's 52 of them now. Adam Lefko, when he was on here, he talked about the Red versus Blue movie, and there's a premiere coming up. I'm trying to wrangle my way in to get some tickets from Adam. But he got that project completed, and it's going to be a big deal. There's also a documentary that's been produced by ESPN about the year of the Cardinal that is on TV on Thursday night, tonight, if you're listening to this on Thursday, December 19th. So it's just a whole lot of stuff about sports and U of L basketball, and you know, it's all fun. I hope everybody keeps it in the idea that sports is fun. So I have had a busy social schedule, but I stopped Sunday night and watched the final episode of Homeland. Now, sort of broke my heart. I couldn't believe that they actually, the writers, and I hope you've already seen it because I'm going to give it away, the writers killed Brody. Nicholas Brody, the main character, he, gruesome scene. He was hung from his neck in the middle of a square over in the Middle East. And that's going to make for some interesting talk about next year and or the next time that, that the Homeland series comes back without Nicholas Brody, unless there's some miracle. And I don't see how that can happen. I kept thinking that that rope was going to get cut and somebody was going to come in and save Brody from his fate. But no. Homeland Watchers, Brody is dead. So that took that took care of the end of that. So there's one other thing I really wanted to talk about, which was an event I went to this afternoon, and that was the Greater Louisville Inc. Capital Connection Series. They had the Speaker of the House, Greg Stumbo, in to make a speech about basically looking forward to the next legislative session next year. And Stumbo's a great speaker. I worked on his campaign for when he was running with Bruce Lunsford for lieutenant governor back in 2007. He's really good. He had a whole bunch of jokes. He had some Tennessee jokes. He knew better, I think, than to do any jokes involving U of L and UK. But he had some great Tennessee jokes. One was about a guy who walked into a store and asked the guy if he could have a moon pie and an RC Cola, and he said, "You must be from Tennessee." And the guy said, "Well, why do you think I'm from Tennessee?" And he said, and he looked at him, and he said, "Well, this is a hardware store." So that was just one example. There were some sort of off-color jokes too, but Stumbo got around. He is an expert legislator. He is the consummate politician, I would say. I did get a couple of questions in. He talked a lot about the issues coming up in the General Assembly. We'll probably get into some of those in future Rusty Satellite shows. Talked a lot about education and health care and how the legislators up there in Frankfort need to get along and get something done this time. And you know, if they don't, you know, it is going to be it's going to be their fault. The public has been very upset with legislators in general. Stumbo even talked about in a negative way about what happens in Washington and he didn't want to have happen in Frankfort. So I managed to get a question in. I asked Stumbo via, he had to submit questions in writing, and I asked him about the hemp legislation and the medical marijuana legislation. And he had, to the disappointment of Rusty Satellite alumni guest Mose Putney and Perry Clark, he is not a big fan of hemp. He cited a statistic that said that the numbers of jobs gained through the production of hemp would be minimal, according to a study. He said that the only jobs gained would be law enforcement. So I think you can count Stumbo on the side of those opposed to any new legislation legalizing hemp. And I think that the fact that Stumbo's against it is going to keep it from happening in this session. We'll see if anything goes there, but I wouldn't get your hopes up if you're thinking hemp legislation is going to happen in this session. On the other hand, Stumbo was kind of a advocate of medical marijuana. He said he still had more to learn, but he said he had talked to some parents who had kids with dyslexia who had been using medical marijuana to ease the symptoms to help those kids, and he said, I quote, that the legislation for medical marijuana may have legs this time. He seeks to, he just thinks it really has a chance, and he's behind it because he had those personal stories. And I guess that's the way you change the legislator's mind. You know, because I know in the past Stumbo's been against any kind of marijuana legislation, but now this medical marijuana situation, I think it's going to get a hearing this time, and it may be in the news in a way that might get it passed up there in Frankfort in the session next year. Now, GLI, you know, has been under a lot of turmoil in the last 6 months, letting go of number of staff members, cutting back, making sure. But at this event, this Capital Connection, there were, say, maybe 100 or two guest there having a really expensive lunch at the Marriott downtown. They were pushing three things. One was this local investments for transformation, they call it, the local option sales tax that you might remember Mayor Fisher has been promoting, and Fisher's been up there several times. Stumbo mentioned that Fisher has been in his office pushing for this legislation to pass in Frankfort. Stumbo was pretty noncommittal, although he recognized how important it was to people in the audience. So that was in. The other thing was I was more interested in was the discussion about expanded gaming. And that is a big initiative for GLI. That's what they're lobbying for in Frankfurt this year. And in Stumbo, we even mentioned the Kentucky Wins group, which is a group of business leaders who are advocating for expanded gaming. Stumbo believes that it's got a chance this time. He really believes that some sort of gaming. He did strongly make it clear that any legislation favoring licenses for particular groups, meaning racetracks, would be challenging. But he, I think, if you're going to bet on what's going to be in the news out of Frankfurt this time, the gaming is going to be, and it may have a better chance than it's had in the past. Although, if you're paying attention, and you're from Kentucky, you know how hard this is for those rural legislators to get behind any progressive idea like expanded gaming that would benefit people. They'll bring out religion, and they'll bring out moral issues, and they'll argue against it, and inevitably it in the past has failed. So we will see. The other issue that GLI is behind is easing the taxing on our signature industries, distilleries and bourbon, which, you know, I think is a good idea. It doesn't make sense to me that bourbon is taxed at a rate higher than any other product in the state when it is our signature product. It's the biggest thing we've got here. So you'll be wanting to follow that in the news as we go forward. So anyway, that's some of the stuff in the news. I want to get to Glenn Haygood next. Glenn is, he's very proud of the fact, I guess, that WLKY continues to win the ratings battles every time there's a sweeps ratings period. Seems like WLKY comes out ahead, or at least that's what they tell me. I've seen the numbers. And so I address the fact that in this interview, some of the reasons behind the ratings, and you know, the critics of WLKY all say, well, it's just because CBS has such a strong network lineup, and all their shows are number one. So naturally, the news at WLKY is number one. And there was also a study that came out this week, or it may have been last week, on WFPL. About media that showed which stations cover the most crime, and WLKY, of course, you know, it is. They do a lot of crime news over at WLKY, most in the city. And of course, Glenn will tell you, you'll just hear what he has to say. I had a very interesting visit with Glenn. He's an old friend, and really appreciate being able to talk to Glenn about all things TV. In my role as a media critic. So let's go right to the interview. Over from Melwood Avenue, here is my interview with Glenn Haygood.
In the offices of WLKY Studios with Glenn Haygood overlooking the hill. Where, Glenn, welcome to the show. I see nobody seems to have sledded down your hill out here.
Actually, they have. We've got a lot of neighborhood kids that use our helicopter pad to build snowmen. So, in fact, I came in after the weekend, and the first thing we had to do was push the snowman down the hill so the helicopter could land.
Well, that's going above and beyond the duties of a general manager at what you often remind me is the number one rated station in the market. As GM here, you know, you all have been, according to you, number one for a long time. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think it's consistency of our product. We really focus in on what we do well. We like to view ourselves as a station that does the best job in the market, covering breaking news, covering hard news, covering the things that matter to people. And we give a very consistent day-in, day-out quality product to people. And over time, if you do that, your viewers become very loyal and they stay with you.
Okay. Okay, now you've been here, tell me how many years?
Right at 6 years now.
Right at 6 years. Because I remember, I don't know why, but back in my blogging days, I was one of the, I think I was one of the first media types you talked to way back then.
You were actually the first.
Okay.
In fact, I was still living in North Carolina and hadn't left my job there before I came here, and you reached out and sent me an email and called me while I was still in North Carolina.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm not that aggressive anymore. But anyway, I'm glad we've been able to talk for all these years about different things that go on in the TV business. And tell me what you know, a lot of the other, not a lot, the other stations in the market, you know, the GMs, you know, Bill Lamb and Ken Talbaji, they go on the air and do their little editorial bits and all that. Now you and is that a Hearst policy? The company's owned by Hearst, of course. Or is that just a personal thing?
No, it's just a personal thing. The Hearst company actually encourages the GMs to do GM editorials. Myself personally, I'm not a publicity seeker. I'm not very fond of going in front of the cameras, so I've been a little hesitant to do it for those reasons.
I'll be glad to write them for you. You know, I can give you some good opinions.
I'm sure. Yeah, and that's the other part of it. You know, sometimes I wonder, how much I should be pushing my opinion forward. I think we pride ourselves here on coming down very neutrally on issues that are of importance to Louisville. We like to cover both sides of every issue. We like to take the stance that we're going to deliver information for people to make up their own minds. And I think any time that you start to appear opinionated, you always run the chance of alienating a few people. And I'm not necessarily comfortable with that. I also think in terms of the public image of the TV station, and I think that should be most closely tied to the anchors and the reporters that we put on the air on a day-in, day-out basis. Those are really the people that our viewers and the users of our website build the relationship with. They don't build it with me, because even if I were doing editorials on a regular basis, it would still be far less frequently than the frequency of time that our reporters and anchors are on the air. Okay. All that being said, I will tell you this. You may see me doing some editorials on the air in the near future. I haven't ruled it out.
Okay.
I think if I approach it and start to do them, it'll look a little bit different than the things that you see Bill and Ken doing.
Wow. Well, there's some breaking news. That would be interesting, and I will write them for you if you like. But the TV news business that you're involved in, I mean, your day-to-day life, I'm sure it revolves around making sure it's profitable here. And there's a lot of, talk in media. There's a lot of change going on in the media world. How is the TV business as a business?
I think it's as good as it's ever been. You know, one of the things that we benefit from is a strong local brand. People connect with us. We cover the local community. We cover events. We help out charities. We help out nonprofits. We do a lot that endears us, that endears our brand to the people that live in this market. And they tend to be very loyal to the TV station brands, and not just ours, to the others as well. So when we want to build our business in new ways, whether it be mobile sites with people that have tablets and smartphones, or the websites, or our multicast offerings, which, WLKY has the MeTV channel that we put out now. We have a little bit of news that we do on that. Anytime that we branch out and our brand is connected to some new product that these things are business ventures, they generally are adopted pretty quickly by the media consuming public. Mm-hmm. So that even though we've had a lot of change in the business, even though there's been the whole stories of fragmentation and the way that people's usage patterns have changed over time, our brand and our content is still being delivered to as many, if not more, people than ever could get it before. And the fun thing about it is we now are able to deliver our content in a lot of different ways.
Okay.
So when you ask, how's the business these mm-hmm. days, that's why I say I think it's as good as it's ever been. We're going through some changes that I think are very, very positive for our industry overall.
Well, you, I know when the ratings come out, you're always quick to say, LKY is number one in all the news periods, you at least lead to your competitors.
Thanks for reminding everybody of
waving. But, what they say often is, well, CBS is carrying the load here. That it's all due to the strong lead-ins and the strong network programming that CBS provides. So how do you respond to that?
Well, we're happy to be affiliated with CBS. It's obviously the number one network nationally. It's the number one network here in Louisville. So there's no question that it gives us an advantage that the other stations don't have. I would much rather be a CBS affiliate right now than any of the other networks. That being said, when your network time, which is only a portion of the day, when your network time is number one, it doesn't mean that you're automatically going to be the number one station for local news. In fact, you and I have discussed before, there are a lot of television markets in this country where the CBS television network in that market is number one, but the local news operation of the affiliate that is the CBS is not number one. In fact, there are many cases where the CBS affiliate is third or fourth. So even though you have an advantage in being a CBS affiliate, you still have to put a quality product on the air day in and day out with your local news product. You also have to assemble a quality lineup of syndicated programs like we do with Wheel and Jeopardy and the Ellen DeGeneres Show and Steve Harvey. We put together top to bottom, we think, the best lineup of programs in the market. And CBS is only one part of that. So we're happy to have CBS. Yes, it's number one. Yes, it does help us. But you can't say that all of our success is attributable just to CBS.
Unless you're like the guys across the street who say that all the time. But regardless, now I got an email this morning, Glenn, and from WDRB talking about how they were, you know, making a claim to, I guess, number one in the mornings. And I guess it's always like that. Are they creeping up on you at all, or how is the race going?
The mornings in particular is probably the closest of all the races. And there's four stations that all compete head-to-head in comparable time periods. You know, we'll see any one station at any given time creep up, get a little closer to us, and then fall back. Every now and then we'll see one pass us for a short period of time, and then they fall back again. You know, what we like to look at is how are your ratings over a period of time, whether it be a weekly basis, a monthly basis, period of several months. And when you're consistently the number one station in the market, it's fine to see people pop up and down from time to time. Maybe they have a little short-term spike. Maybe they're giving away a car, and that promotes their numbers quite a bit. But if you can sustain continuous quality and continuous consistency with your product, you're going to stay number one for a long period of time. And that's the advantage that we've enjoyed.
Okay, so you took a shot at people that do gimmicks to get people to watch their shows.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to take a shot. I actually think sometimes doing promotions like that where you give away cars or you do something else, whether it be iPads or whatever else you might want to give away, I think, you know, a TV station that gets into a rating sweep and wants to try and bump their numbers up a little more than they ordinarily would see them, I think they're going to do those types of promotions. And you know, I don't know that that's necessarily a shot against them. I think they're doing what they should do to try and increase their numbers. We've been fortunate because we can rely on just the consistent loyalty and product quality that we have over time to keep our numbers where they are. We haven't had to do that to grow our numbers. So, and you won't ever see us doing that
right
either.
And I guess the biggest thing of the year around here, the built-in advantage in basketball season, mm-hmm. is basketball. Mm-hmm. You know, in the spring, I know we do the every year we do the story about how more people watch the NCAA tournament in Louisville than anywhere else. That's just got to be you've got a number of events like that though, right, throughout the year that that just give you phenomenal ratings.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt basketball is terrific. It's like having the Super Bowl for 3 weeks, especially when you've got more than one team that goes deep into the tournament. So we're ecstatic about it. You know, now what we'll do here locally is we'll put a tremendous amount of resources behind additional local coverage of it. You'll see us doing a lot of local specials that focus on our teams. And we'll do them in our access time periods. We'll do it in some news time periods. We'll do it throughout the day, before and after the games. So we travel with the teams. We put a lot of people out there in the field. I think last year for the Final Four, we had Final Four in the championship game. I believe we had 16 or 17 people on our staff that actually were at the Final Four to produce the volume of coverage that we do. And that's in addition to all the resources that we had back here in Louisville contributing to it.
Wow. So which is your favorite team? That's obvious, the question.
Well, I'm a neutral. I don't
know. Note to listeners, that was Glenn hesitating, trying to figure out how to answer that question.
Because I didn't go to Kentucky or Louisville, I get to claim neutrality.
Now, where did you go?
I grew up in Florida.
Grew up in Florida,
and I actually went to University of Central Florida in Orlando. Okay. So right now, whenever I say that, I get Louisville fans a little bit under the skins. But, you know, I cheer for Louisville and Kentucky here. There's... When they play the Knights, which is this year was the first time we've seen that, and we'll have a couple of basketball games too. The day that they play the Knights, I got to cheer for my alma mater.
Okay,
I got to wear the black and gold.
Understand.
Those days. I've been a fan of theirs for over 30 years. So
the Hilltoppers are in town.
You're a Hilltopper.
Play the Cardinals,
fan.
And you know I'm hoping they're going to pull off an upset. So that's good. So you're good. You'll be going out to the Fiesta Bowl then, I guess, right?
No, it's really hard to find another UCF fan here to go with me.
That's right. Where does the UCF Alumni Club meet?
There's not a big UCF alumni chapter here in Louisville.
That's funny. Well, well, good. Well, we're about to wrap up here, Glenn. When are we? When and what topic is your first editorial going to be on?
Well, we'll just leave that as a big surprise.
Be sure to let me know so I can report it. I'm sure that'll happen. But anyway, it's been fun, you know, knowing you all the whole time you've been here in Louisville. And best of luck to WLKY.
Thanks, Rick. Great chatting with you.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. If you go to LouisvilleKY or RustySatelliteShow.com, you'll see a picture. Glenn insisted that I take his picture with a cutout of Ellen DeGeneres, one of the shows that airs on WLKY. So anyway, you got that to look forward to. It's been a great week. I'm going to take credit on this one. It's a really great show. Thanks to Neil Buddy and Glenn Haygood both for taking time out of their day to welcome me into their offices. I've got a great show next week. It's you know, I don't plan well in advance, but, you know, it's Christmas week and all that, and I've got to do my interviews earlier. I am going to be talking, I hope, about the big game, UL-UK game and the bowl game with Mark Coombs, who's does write sports for Insider Louisville. At least that's what we hope for. And if you tune in next week and somebody else is on, then you'll know that it didn't work out. But I talked to Mark a few weeks ago, and we targeted this week to do the show. Also expecting to talk a very interesting guy, John Ashton, who is running a radio show about golf. Now at first listen, that sounds like something really boring, but it's a fun show and it's going nationally. John has developed this show. It's like 5 years old, and you'll be interested to tune in. So there's a lot of stuff going on. If you really want a t-shirt before Christmas, get in touch with me. You can reach me at rick@louisvilleky.com. I want to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plan, for sticking with me and sponsoring the show. Merry Christmas to you, and hopefully all good things, Santa will bring you the stuff you want.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.